morning blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, the Manitoba Historical Society, who I work with, has an area of its website called Memorable Manitobans, and we provide there short biographies of notable Manitobans of the past. This week, we're discussing some of the memorable Manitobans we lost in 2021 and some of the challenges in identifying them.
How many memorable Manitobans were there in 2021?
Well, there are 81 so far, but we anticipate that more will be added as other worthy people are identified. The annual total over the past few years has ranged from around 90 to 100 or so, but it's definitely a challenge to identify people to add to the collection.
What in general can we say about a memorable Manitoban?
Well, in the vast majority of cases, they have done praiseworthy things, either as part of their work or as a community volunteer. There were athletes, clerics, filmmakers, labor leaders, photographers, and much, much more. We don't have the time to talk about each and every person on the 2021 list, so I'll refer listeners to the MHS website. But we can talk about a few who stood out especially for me, and we'll talk about them in the order they passed away, month by month.
So let's start with January.
Well, we have musician Curtis Johnny. He performed all around North America under the name Shin Goose before returning to Winnipeg, where he was instrumental in establishing the Indigenous Album of the Year category in the Juno Awards.
Yeah, I remember his passing. It was a big loss to the Indigenous community here.
Indeed.
And moving on to February.
We have teacher Borislav Bilash of Dauphin. He was a staunch advocate for multiculturalism in Canada, and especially for the active use of Ukrainian language in schools. We also have farmer Gordon McGill of Clearwater. He chaired the Boundary Trails Heritage Region for over 15 years, and he was an active volunteer at the Pembina Threshermen's Museum, the Cartwright Heritage Park Museum, and the Clearwater Agricultural Museum.
Moving on to the next month, how about March?
George Heschke was the principal at Winnipeg's Sisler High School for over 40 years. That's got to be some kind of a record. And he was known for his innovative school programs, his treatment of education as an agent of social change, and his inspirational leadership. We also have David Schindler. He came to Winnipeg to help in establishing the Experimental Lakes area, a research facility of the federal government in northwestern Ontario. And he went on to become one of the world's foremost aquatic scientists.
What about April?
Although born in England, Catherine Barber came to Winnipeg at an early age, where she became fluent in French, German, and Italian. She was known as Canada's Word Lady, a dictionary editor, a best-selling author, and radio columnist. We also have Margaret Morse, the daughter of a noted Winnipeg physician. She became noteworthy in her own right as Manitoba's first speech pathologist.
And moving on, next month, May.
Ron Blick of Winnipeg spent decades teaching technical writing to engineering and science students at Red River College. His work led to 8 editions of the definitive book on the subject. We also have Elder Ted Fontaine. He was chief of Saguin First Nation and executive director of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs. He wrote a best-selling book on his traumatic experiences in the residential school system.
How about for the month of June?
Architect Steve Kohlmeyer of Winnipeg completed projects all over North America, South America, and Africa, and he served as president of the Manitoba Association of Architects.
Moving along halfway through the year, who's worth mentioning in July?
After a long career in corporate public relations, Ted Holland of Winnipeg launched a second career in sports journalism, writing for the Winnipeg Sun and the Winnipeg Free Press. Meanwhile, Don Curtin worked for many years at CJOB Radio, where he was known for his booming voice. City Councillor Harry Lazarenko represented the North End for 27 years and was deputy mayor at the time of his retirement. In 2014, Winnipeg's Redwood Bridge was renamed in his honor.
And who do we remember from August?
Lawyer Alan Scarth worked at a prestigious Winnipeg law firm where he was a keen advocate for the natural world, serving as legal counsel on significant environmental cases. He played a key role in the founding of Fort White Alive.
In September?
Farmer Les Forrester of Emerson served on the Manitoba Sugar Beet Growers Association. When that industry ended in the 1990s, a victim of the North America Free Trade Agreement, he restored obsolete sugar beet equipment to help in establishing the wonderful Sugar Beet Museum at Saint-Joseph.
What about for the month of October?
After receiving a civil engineering degree, Ruth Eden of Erickson became the first woman to work as a highways engineer in Manitoba, spending more than 30 years designing and constructing bridges and other structures throughout Manitoba. We also have Kai Madsen of Winnipeg. He began volunteering at the Christmas Cheer Board in 1969, later serving as a board member, president, and ultimately executive director for 15 years.
And for the month of November?
In 1980, Leroy Adams came to Canada from Barbados. A talented checker player, he served as the president of the Canadian Checker Association and was ranked as the best checker player in all of Canada and the 12th best player in the whole world. We also have Jack Templeman. His 39-year career as a police officer stood him in good stead when he volunteered many years with the Winnipeg Police Museum and Historical Society and wrote two books on the history of Winnipeg policing.
And to round out the year, what about December?
We have a couple. We have Bob Brennan of Winnipeg. He spent 47 years working at Manitoba Hydro, the last 12 of them as its president and CEO, during which time he oversaw many developments, including the construction of new generating stations and the acquisition of new corporate assets. We also have Louisa Loeb of Halbstad. Following a distinguished career in education at Brandon University, she organized annual reunions of teachers from one-room schoolhouses around Manitoba, and she compiled a book of their reminiscences.
You said earlier that it's challenging to identify memorable Manitobans. Why is that?
Well, we're at the mercy of available information, and obituaries are one of our best sources. Frankly, some of them are quite poor. You know, for example, an obituary for one of the people that I profiled today was a grand total of just 40 words. It said that he had died. It said that a funeral would be held, but it said nothing about his accomplishments. You know, a more detailed obituary was available on the funeral home's website, but there's no assurance that it will be there forever. Another challenge is that the list potentially reflects the biases of people compiling it, much as we try to avoid them. There is, therefore, a definite skew towards white males. You know, of course, me being a white male myself, but we do try hard, and it's only with partial success that we overcome this bias. We are definitely open to suggestions of other memorable Manitobans who we may be overlooking.
How can listeners add to the 2021 list?
Well, by contacting me and ideally providing sources of information to help in preparing a biography. We faithfully credit all sources for the over 12,000 biographies in the Memorable Manitobans collection. There is an ongoing MHS initiative, and we already are starting a 2022 list, although there aren't any members on it yet.
Tell us how people can see the full 2021 list.
They can see the entire list, along with many more biographical details about each person than I was able to say today, at mhs.ca/MM2021. And that's all lowercase letters.
I already have one name that might already be on there, but we spoke to somebody today, Brian Daria, who was the last living streetcar driver, passed away in December of 2021.
Well, see, there you go. We do not have that name, and that's definitely somebody we would want to add. So, yes, if listeners have any suggestions, by all means, contact me, and we'll evaluate them against our criteria. We do have certain criteria we follow, but if we feel there's merit, we will definitely add them to the list.
And what's up for next week?
Well, we're on the subject of losses in 2021, so I thought we should maybe review the historic buildings that were lost last year. By my count, there were at least 17 of them, And spoiler alert, many of them, yes, are grain elevators. And there's probably others that our listeners know about and they'll let me know about.
Very excited to hear about that.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.